Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you all. I am Apostle Christopher McQueen.
I'm Prophetess McQueen.
Of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, and this is the Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. We're so happy that you will join us today. We know that there is a word from the Lord for you, and we're looking forward to getting into this message today. God has been speaking to us, and we're ready to hear what he has to say to us. But before we go too far, let's go ahead and have Prophetess Crystal McQueen to give us our morning announcements and lead us in our morning prayer. Prophetess?
Good morning, everyone, and once again, welcome to Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. This morning's announcements are as follows. Every Tuesday at 7 p.m. and every Saturday at 10:30 a.m., join us for Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast with Apostle Christopher McQueen and myself. On Thursday evening at 7 p.m., join me for Prophetic Atmosphere. You can hear us live at www.ctkr.org. As you're visiting our website, we do ask that you would learn more about us. We also ask and pray that you would become a vision partner with this ministry, helping us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. If either one of you would like Apostle McQueen or myself to come minister or for any ministerial engagements, we ask that you would click on the link for contact us and then go to prayer request, information, and speaking engagements. Please send us an email letting us know your request, and someone will get in contact with you within 12 to 24 hours. While you're there, if you do have a prayer request or you need more information about us, please let us know. We also ask that you would go to our Facebook pages. You could find us under Christ the King Redemptive Ministry or Women of Prophetic Destiny. Like us there. You can also leave information, tell us how this ministry is blessing your life, telling us what God is doing in your life. We are definitely looking for praise reports. Amen? Amen. Now, let us go into prayer so that we can get right into the Word of God. Let us pray. Father, right now in Jesus' name, we thank you for this day. God, as we come before you, we humble ourselves at your feet. Lord, we just bow before you, worshiping you, because you are the great I am. You are El Shaddai. You are Elohim. You are the God that's more than enough. We shall be content in you. We lift our hands to praise you. We lift our hearts to give you glory. Our mouths are constantly filled with your praise. Our hands are constantly waving before you. We bless your name. You are the God of all. We humble ourselves. We bow ourselves at your mighty feet. We even invite the Holy Spirit this morning to come as the man of God begins to minister the powerful word. We ask that you would anoint him, crown his head with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Speak through him this morning for the oracles that we, your people, may hear, receive, understand, and obey. Father, I'm asking now in the name of Jesus that you would put in our spirit a will to do your will. Turn us over and change us over, God.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus, change over our mindsets. Break old mindsets, break old cycles, God, that we keep repeating over and over and over again. Help us, Father, to overcome. Let the word, God, that has been spoken in our lives, over our lives, let it begin to bring up harvest now in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, take out every weed. Take out every spirit, God, that comes to deter us from your purpose. In the name of Jesus, help us to repent before you, God, to humble ourselves. Repent. Rend our hearts this morning, God. In the name of Jesus, forgive us for every sin, every sin of unrighteousness and wickedness, God. Cover us in the blood. We plead the blood of Jesus over our minds, our hearts, and our souls today. Move in us, God. Oh, Father, shake us tonight. Shake us this morning that we will not get comfortable in the places that we are in, that we don't get lost in the test, that we don't get lost in the trials, that we don't get lost in the place of procrastination. Father, shake us, shift us today. Begin to call our names out, Father. Begin to turn our spirits over. Call out in prayer. In the name of Jesus, wake up the prayer warriors. Wake up the intercessors. Father, help us to focus on you today. In the name of Jesus, focus on this kingdom assignment that we all have. We got to see your face. We got to hear your words and say,
yeah,
welcome,
yeah.
A good and faithful servant. Enter in to the joy of the Lord. We must, God, see your face. We must see the manifestation of your glory, your power in the lives of your people in the name of Jesus. Now, God, we thank you. Cover every leader with your blood. Give them a favor, God. I'm asking that they will not deter those leaders that are standing on the wall this morning that continue to stand. They have not taken down. Father, strengthen them now. Encourage their hearts. Surround them with people, God, that are praying and interceding for them on behalf. In the
yeah.
name of Jesus.
Yeah.
Oh, God, those leaders who started off well but deterred. And Father, call them back. Father, shake them, shift them. Give them a revelation of you, who is Jesus Christ. Help them to get back to preaching the gospel. Get back to the basics. Preaching your word, your will. Preaching hell, preaching salvation. What must I do to be saved? We thank you now, God, that you're doing it in the lives of your people. We bless you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen.
Amen.
Listen, we are excited about what God is doing for us. And we know that there are some things that are going on in the world, in the land, and we are praying for our leaders. The Bible tells us really simply to pray for those who have rule over you. So when we begin to pray for those who have rule over us, then that means our lives will be enriched and we'll live in peace. And we need to be able to live in peace. Amen. Mm-hmm. When we live in peace, then God gives us the ability to live productive lives. Amen. And we want to live those productive lives. So we are praying and we're believing God for our leadership to come in alignment with his word and to come in alignment with his will. But I'm praying for those of us who should be focus on what God is saying to us, what God is trying to get us to do. I'm praying that we would catch the vision
mm-hmm.
and move forward in the things of God. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. there is a few things that I want to address this morning. We're going to walk some of the scriptures. This morning, I'm looking for, yes, there we are. Amen. Looking for a scripture that we use in the article that I read. Let me deal with the article. This week, there's been a lot of talk about a pastor in Georgia, Macon, Georgia, that in between his two services went home, pulled into his driveway, and his wife found him, dead in the vehicle, in the driveway. And the wound appeared to be self-inflicted. And as we began to look at it, there's so much that the young man had done in his life, and so many things that he had accomplished. He wasn't someone who was a slacker by any sense of the word. Amen. And I think there's a room right now for a dialogue along these lines, because we have many in leadership who take on and do so much, and then there are some who just sit back and depend on leadership to do it all. Mm-hmm. And the stress of it can become great and greater and greater. There is a passage in the scripture, and we have to understand that Moses is, he's in the wilderness, and while he's in the wilderness, he's trying to govern and do everything for everybody, and his father-in-law told him, you know, you're doing too much. Mm-hmm. You know, he said, listen, I need you to, to come in and do something here. I need you to find some people of like spirits who will stand with you, amen, and help you to carry on the responsibility.
Yeah.
Amen, of leading these people, because the task is so great that if you don't get help, it will take you up out of here. So there are people who are trying to, they're trying to analyze it from a secular side, but we have to understand that God knew that this was too much for us.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And that's why he put able-bodied people around us. Amen. Prophetess, you were telling me about something that you had viewed. Roles of ministers who mm-hmm. were sitting there, elders, mm-hmm. pastors underneath a covering. And one of the senior pastors stood up and said, listen, you all, I need some help.
Mm-hmm.
Which one of you would stand up and help me? And 3, 4, or 5 rows full of elders, ministers, and pastors belonging to this ministry, no one came forward. No one stood up to help. It is something that we have to look at and really, you know, take a assessment with, is that we have become a group of people who look to see what you can do for me mm-hmm. and not what I can do for us. Notice I said us, because when one succeeds, we all succeed. But when one fails, we all fail. we can go across we can go across the board and deal with different things. A few years ago here in Florida, over in the Orlando area, there was a prominent pastor who was found in New York, I do believe, in his hotel room. The toxicology, I believe, they tried to hush that up. We're not addressing the right or the wrong of it or anything else. We respect the family and all that they have gone through. But you have to understand that there are those in leadership, and when they are in leadership, they're not perfect. Mm-hmm. When you look at them and you say, listen, you have to understand our pastor is above flaws. He's above all of that. You put them on a pedestal of being God. And there's only one person that I know who was flawless, and his name was Jesus.
That's right.
Hmm? But because he came and he gave us an example, we know how to walk and how to do and how to progress. And we don't have to be perfect, but we have to proceed to perfection.
Mm-hmm.
That means that we have to know how to move forward regardless of the obstacles, regardless of every trap and every negative thing. There's everything that you do is not going to come off without a hitch.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be times when you're trying to move forward and you're going to run into some situations. But we have to remember that we are overcomers. Amen. And it's not your strength, it's his strength.
Yes.
I do believe that in reading some of the articles concerning this pastor this week, they had spoken and had listed that he had preached a sermon saying that,
mm-hmm.
I feel sometimes that God isn't hearing me.
Mm-hmm.
Let me read this verbatim. Thank you, dear.
Mm-hmm.
He said in one of his sermons, he said, it's on YouTube, Facing Your Storm with Confidence.
Mm-hmm.
He confessed that he was struggling with his faith walk. And basically he says here, I tried to pray, but I don't feel like God is hearing me. I try to serve, but I don't feel like God is using me. And there are times in your life when God purposely withdraws from you. He doesn't withdraw for the sake of leaving you, but he withdraws so you can grow and mature. Now, let me show you something here. The statement is productive and true,
mm-hmm.
but you have to understand that when there's a child that is learning how to walk, the child will learn how to stand. And to encourage the child to take a step, the parent would step back and reach out to the child. The child will reach towards the parent and make a step towards them.
Mm-hmm.
And when they start making a step or two, then they learn how to get balance in their walk.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Holy Spirit, because that will preach by itself. When you learn how to get balance in your walk, then you learn how to endure the steps of your progression.
Yes.
So even while that's happening, you can still see your parents.
Mm-hmm.
You can still see the one that you're trying to walk to. Amen. And we have to be careful not to become so wrapped up in secular agendas, political agendas and things like that. Yes, we need to make sure that we're focused on what's happening in Washington and what's happening in our capitals and what's happening in City Hall. But we got to remember that our primary job is not to that, but it is to the kingdom of God. And we got to preach an unadulterated gospel and keep our focus on him.
Yeah.
Many things will come up that seem important, but after all is said and done, if you get wrapped up in everything but the word, the enemy can lead you into a place that you can't get out of, or where you think you can't get out of. And so it was with him. He says, I try to pray, but I don't feel like God is hearing me.
Hmm.
I try to serve, but I don't feel like God is using me. You know, I feel like he's withdrawn from me. And I know it's not for the sake of leaving me, but it's so I can grow and mature.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens when I don't feel like I can grow? What happens when I don't feel like I can mature? And that's why there needs to be an appeal to leadership now. When you are in leadership, step up, stand up, support, amen, the leader, your pastor, your bishop, your apostle. Don't sit back and go, well, they got it. They're going to be able to stand and take. This man right here had ministries that he birthed out. I think about 40 or so that he had birthed out. 20, about 20 that he had birthed out himself. When he got to the location where he was serving, they were going the other way, and he brought them back to life and grew the congregation. See, you know, people feel that because you're able to do these type of things that you are, you know, strong and you can just run with it and you don't need no help. You one man show. Well, no man's an island. It takes, amen, it takes someone standing up and helping you to do what needs to be done. Now, we're not going to go into the theological aspects of this. We're not going to try to take it, apart. I'm not going to get into the aspects of heaven and hell and suicide and, you know, and the rest of that, because God knows what happened with the situation. Huh? And since God knows what happened with this situation, he is the judge.
Mm-hmm.
And we leave that to him.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone else has an opinion, but only God has the verdict. Mm-hmm. So we leave it to God. Now, what does that do for us? That reminds us that if we're going to walk this walk, if we're going to do the work that God called us to do, then we have to have a focus and we have to have an agenda. Let's look at this right here, Hebrews 12:1. Amen. For those of you waiting for me to get to a scripture, here goes one. It says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And listen, I'm not saying in any shape, form, or fashion that this pastor or any of the others that have succumbed to the pressures of this walk, amen, that they were living in sin.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying that there is some weight that comes with this. Mm-hmm. And the weight of this sometimes is so great when you don't recognize or realize, mm-hmm, amen,
mm-hmm,
that there's some things that go on in the body. Amen.
Amen.
In the mind.
Amen.
You know, we're if we go out and we show that we have issues or we have a slight problem,
mm-hmm,
you know, then people look and say, ooh, he can't be a man of God. He can't be a woman of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, they're a man, they're a woman of God. But the fight is real. Amen?
Right.
And since this fight is real, that means that we have to deal with some real issues here.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Right.
Huh? And when we deal with these issues, they begin to help us. Amen?
Amen.
With what we need. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Apostle friend of mine, basically said this. He said, pastors and suicide, after reading a post about a pastor who committed suicide because he felt that God was not hearing him. It's extremely disturbing. You know, reading the articles, it said that his members at his church, he preached heavily about against suicide. To be one that succumbs to it is really hard,
yeah.
You know, to hear. Amen. Even though he goes on to say, even though we have a duty to pray, we are also called to discern. And here is the harsh reality for many so-called ministers. And I need you to hear this. Amen. And hear it well. It says, you aren't called. Now, if you go back in our broadcast, you'll notice many times that we say, and I preach often, and I'm getting to this in this message, that there is a grace that you need to do what we do. There is an anointing that has to be on your life. There's a processing that you have to go through. And I'm saying this because there are people who are going off to Bible schools and seminaries and everything else, and they're learning the mechanics, amen, of what we do, but they don't know really what we do.
Right.
It is beyond them. It is beyond their understanding. They can't see us.
Mm-mm.
They can't see what we do and why we do it. Amen.
Amen.
So when it comes down to it, they have a hard time understanding us. Amen.
Amen.
Because they want us to do what they do, but they want us to do it at the level that they do it.
Hmm.
Learned. Not called, not sent, but just went. Well, I saw a need and I stepped out, and because I was popular with what I was doing, we had so many people who came to us, and
mm-hmm.
you know, we just went on with it.
Right.
Okay, well, you went on with it, and now let's see where we are today.
Mm-hmm.
Are we any place that we need to be? Do we have what we need? Can we do what we need to do? See, I'm very careful. You know, when I begin to look at this walk, I ran from it. I ran from it because I knew that it was going to be a tedious walk. I ran from it because I knew that I had to come up some levels and remove some layers in order to do it. But while I'm running from it, the Holy Spirit is constantly taking me through lesson after lesson after lesson, so that when I finally said yes, I was ready to go ahead and walk this thing out. When I run into people who say today they're a minister, tomorrow they're evangelist, the next day they're a prophet, and now they're a pastor over people, and because they walk in and doing all of this, now they're an apostle. I don't see any place in the Bible where they jump from title to title to title.
Right.
You have to understand each one of those is an office, and you have to have the authority of that office. You have to have the grace of that office. You have to be able to be anointed to walk in that office. And each one of those offices carries a mantle with it. It is the mantle that conforms you and restricts your movement, if you will, while you are walking out and fulfilling that office. You just can't run around and do whatever you want to do. You have to do it according to this. There's a grace that comes along. So there's many are called, few are chosen, because he won't answer the call. But there are some who saw that there was the cars and the lights and all the rest of that, and people serving around those who were serving God. As we serve you all, there are those who serve us. And they wanted to sit in that seat because it looked like an important thing. But outside of sitting in the seat in front of you, you have to understand that there's a life that has to be lived outside of this. Hello, somebody. And that life that is lived outside of this is what challenges most people who just go. Because you have to maintain the level of anointing. You have to maintain the standards of your office. And it's difficult. So we have motivational speakers instead of pastors. You heard me say this before. Life coaches. Huh? We have all that other foolishness standing in the pulpit. And when the enemy comes in and like a flood, there's no standard to raise up against him. So he runs over us. He runs over the congregation, runs over those who are there, and people see great devastation. When a standard should have been there because one who was called stood up and went. Let's get back to this Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. You can't run a race that is set before you if you're running somebody else's race. Mm-hmm. Amen. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. In other words, Jesus went through it with the shame, the pain, the heartache, the disappointment, but yet and still he finished the assignment. He endured till the end. Now, you're going to have a hard time dealing with this. You understand? When you just stand up and you decide to just run off and go, but you're not sent. So when an apostle or when a prophet stands up and says, listen, you weren't called to this. You understand? When we say you weren't ordained for this. You don't have the capacity to stand under this. When we see that, then we see great people who are great orators. And they can speak and they can hold your attention. But when it comes down to being able to demonstrate the power of God because they're not sold out to God, we see the kinks and the chinks in the armor. We see where they don't measure up. But they have to be a great man and woman of God. Look at all the people following them. How many people show up at a rock concert? See, you can't look at the crowd and just the anointing. You have to look at the kingdom footprint that that person has. When we step, does heaven and hell move with us? Heaven moves out the way. Heaven moves with us, hell moves out the way. Huh? Or is it just a big mass of motion with no discernible attributes to it? You see that? This apostle goes on to say, even though we have a duty to pray, we are also called to discern. And you can't do this when you just went. The race, run the race. Race with endurance. You can't do that when you just win. We have we are also called to discern. And here is the harsh reality for many so-called ministers. You aren't called. The grace required to do all of what you want people to believe you can do does not exist. Let me say that again. The grace required to do all of what you want people to believe that you can do does not exist. Your delusion and self-deception has brought you into the realm of warfare you aren't equipped to handle. So we see them, they can preach and draw crowds, but when they get alone with themselves, they're left with themselves. So they begin to turn to substance abuse and alcohol and perversions of other kinds to satisfy themselves because they're not satisfied with the ministry. There's some demons that are still running rampant in their lives and in their minds, and they have not settled to follow Jesus and him alone. Hello, somebody.
Mm-hmm.
I know this is not a popular message, but it's a needful one. We can't be apostles and prophets and evangelists, pastors and teachers, those who are in leadership and not stand up and correct the body when it needs correction. This is not for your running. This is for your growth. This is pruning in the body. There are some people who are going to go to some churches, and they're going to say, well, he was just weak.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not look at him being weak. Huh? Let's do a self-assessment and make sure that we're in the right lane. Huh? This is real. Listen, if we're looking at Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith, he knows whether or not you belong in this sentence or the next. He knows if this is your paragraph or if you belong in the next paragraph. So when you're trying to put your sentence where it don't belong, you don't fit.
Mm-hmm.
And when you don't fit, when the red pen comes out, guess who gets crossed out?
Right.
So if you want to be successful, be in your lane doing what you're called to do, and then let God do his job, because he's going to do it anyhow, and he will exalt you when it's time for you to be exalted. He will bless you with your with the blessing of your obedience. But you got to get in your lane. He goes on and says this: ministry is not a game, and I've said this before. Ministry is not a game. I pray that those who have not been called will honestly will be honest and accept the assignment that God gave them, and not what pride, people, and position has deceived them into. In other words, we don't need to read not another one of these stories. I wish, you know, he did this and he went off to seminary and he learned how to do this because he has a bachelor's in marketing and, you know, his master's in divinity, and then he went on and got his PhD and his DD, you know, doctor of divinity. This is a deep brother, and he knows how to do it. And he's pulling all this stuff together and looks well. Well, see, those are learned things, you know, that marketing degree, that business degree teaches you how to be successful putting things in order and moving them forward. You can go to school for that, but you can't go to school for the grace that is required to walk this walk. So when you start seeing those in ministry fall left and right, it's because they were never called into this ministry. Hmm? And if they weren't called, then you're not going to see them progress. And even those who do progress, you'll find out that they're shallow in what they do. God help us today. Look at this. Let's go on and look at some other things. Let's see this here clearly. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
If Jesus walked the walk, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have to understand that there's going to be some things that you have to prepare yourself with. Let's go over here to Ephesians 6 and 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, if you are out of place, then you're going to put on the wrong armor. I am reminded of David getting ready to go out, amen, to fight against Goliath. Mm-hmm. Amen. And as he's going out to fight against Goliath, Saul is seeing him, and when he sees him, he says, "Listen, you're not going out there like that. You gotta dress up. You're about to represent Israel." And see, you have to understand, Saul was after the look of things, but David knew in his heart who he was. So knowing who he was, he could stand up and say, I don't need all of that. And let me say something to you. If you are in ministry so people can see you, get out now. See, this is not about you being seen. We decrease so he can increase. I don't want you to see me. I want you to see him. We sing the song, More of You and Less of Me. And we have to really begin to take that and live that out. It's a wonderful lyrics. Thank you for, I love the melody. I love the lyrics. But can we actually get to the revelation of that? And that is when your flesh and when you are showing up, then people attribute you to being Christ. And if they see you as Christ, they'll trust in you and not in him. And we're not here for you. We're here for him. You see that? So if I'm here for him, then I have to put on the whole armor. Notice it says, put on the whole armor of God, not the whole armor of my reputation, not the whole armor of my brand, not the whole armor of my pride and what I want people to see, not the perception that I'm trying to get people to see. Listen, people will lie on you. People will talk about you. People will spit in your face. People will challenge your anointing. They did it to Jesus when they arrested him. They smote him in his face and said, prophet, prophesy to us and tell us which one of us smote you. And you have to have the same response as Jesus had, because you're not greater than him. You can't stand up and say, I know I'm anointed. I know I'm a man and woman of God. I know I can. No. You have to be able to stand up and do the right thing. That is, he mumbled not. Notice he did. It's not about not saying anything. It's that he didn't even mumble. That means he wasn't talking under his breath. Ooh, I wish I could. No. Your flesh is still showing up. And if your flesh shows up at a spiritual test and challenge, then you are going to fail that test. You see that? So when it says, put on the whole armor of God, we have to take his armor. Huh? We have to be able to put on his armor. See that? That you may be able to stand, because everything else will fall. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. In other words, if God is going to use you, you have to understand that although you may overcome certain levels of this hierarchy, you have authority over it all when you are standing perfectly in the will of God. You're not wrestling against flesh and blood. They talked about me. Okay, let them talk. God has the final say. They didn't like me. I don't know why they don't like me. Every time I go over there, I got, don't let them like you. They didn't like Jesus either. But they couldn't stop him, and they won't be able to stop you. Doing what God called you to do, you will always be successful, because the authority in the word that called you is the authority that maintains you as you go through through the assignment that he's giving you to do. It is what keeps you from failing. It is that assignment that you have that you're walking out that causes, like Peter, when he was told, come, it is that assignment and authority of the word where Jesus said, come, that kept him on top of the water when everybody else would have went in the water. You understand? So you don't worry about what other people are saying. Listen, it's interesting that as Peter got out the boat, that there was still 11 sitting in the boat trying to figure out how Peter was doing what he was doing. But none of the rest of them had the courage to get out the boat. You see that? So when you have that godly courage, that Holy Ghost boldness to step out on the word of God and do what he called you to do, people are going to look at you funny because they can't do what you're doing. But don't get big-headed. Keep walking. Keep your focus on Christ. Don't look at people. People will get you off track real quick. Amen? Let's keep on reading this. 13 verse. Ephesians 6:13, therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Look at that word, withstand. That means that it's going to come. But when it comes, it's not going to have the effect that the enemy wants it to have. You see that? Huh? So they're trying to come with everything that they have to take you out. And even though they're sending their best and doing their best, it does not have the effect that they want, because you're wearing the whole armor of God and you can withstand the attack of the enemy. You see that? Huh? Oh, I'm doing good. God gave, allowed me to get a car, allowed me to do this, allowed me to do that. Yes, that's today. But what about the day when the enemy comes? Can you still stand? Is your car going to save you? Is your house, is your money, is your position going to save you? Listen, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, if you're not communing with the Holy Spirit, when this test comes, it's going to challenge you beyond yourself. And if you can't stand beyond that with his power, his strength, at the end of me comes him. Amen. So in my weakness, his love is made strong, or he is made strong. You see that? He keeps me. He helps me to stand. He helps me to go forward as long as I'm focused on him. Amen? Yeah. Then he says, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded up your waist with truth. Huh? Having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Notice that, let me just go back. Having your waist girt with truth. Notice you put on a belt, it keeps your pants from falling out. In other words, if you walk in truth, then you'll never have to worry about embarrassing yourself. You see that? Huh? The breastplate of righteousness. It means when the enemy comes after you, the thing that protects you, the breastplate protects your heart and your vital organs. It's what keeps you from taking a critical blow that will take your wind out of you and puncture your lungs and all of those things. That righteousness. What is righteousness? Righteousness will protect you when the enemy tries to slander you. There's two words I always use, character and integrity. When people begin to talk about you and they say all kind of crazy stuff, your character speaks for you when you're not there. The integrity that you have is that your character will always maintain itself regardless of the challenge to it. Huh? You see that? So that breastplate of righteousness means that I don't walk in my own righteousness. As a matter of fact, my righteousness is as filthy rags, as the Bible says. But I take on the righteousness of Christ. And because of his blood, I can walk and say unblemished. Because of his blood, I can walk and say that I'm clean. I can walk and say that I'm forgiven. I can walk and say that I'm part of the beloved. You see that? And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Why your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace? Because some places that you're going to walk is going to be hard treading. You see that? Huh? Some places that you walk, some places that you go, you're going to have to step on some things that if you don't have on the proper footwork will go through and puncture the sole of your foot. And you want to mess a soldier up, get his feet messed up. They can't march. They can't progress. I don't care how well you can shoot. I don't care how well you can aim your gun, your rifling system, your weapon system. If you can't get to the fight, you're not in a fight. So if I hinder your ability to progress, I can stop you from getting to where you're needed. Some places you're going to walk, you need your feet shot with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That means when I walk in and the enemy is causing every wind of doctrine to blow in, causing all kind of winds and waves, and the seas are stormy, I can stand up and say, peace, be still. I'm prepared for that. You see that? Above all, taking the shield of faith. And see, it is this shield that we have to look at, because it is the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. You see that? The fiery darts of the wicked one. And we just read in Hebrews, amen? Mm-hmm. We just read that. Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. In other words, he knows how big your shield is. You see that? He knows how much you can stand. He knows how hard, a blow you can take. And sometimes we fool ourselves in the thinking that because we stood before, we can stand again. See, listen, there's a difference between a bullet, a mortar shell, a cannon. You see this? There are certain rounds that armament can't stand up to. Mm-hmm. Certain rounds won't do anything. If you just have a gun, huh? A little 22. I remember watching, I can't remember what that movie was, Harlem Nights or something like that. And they were out there with their Tommy machine guns and shooting, and one guy had this little 22 pea shooter. So you hear pop, 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 pop. And then you hear pop, pop. You see, he knows when you are able to deal with the pop, 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 pop. And he also knows when you're only able to deal with the pop, pop. See, just because you could stand up to the pop, pop, don't try to stand up in front of a tank.
True.
See, you're not equipped for that. And Jesus, who is the author and finisher of your faith, knows that the shield of faith here in Ephesians 6, you see this, 16, he knows how much of a shell you can take. Huh? When you learn how to do this, how to focus on your faith, and notice we go from glory to glory. We go from growth to growth. We are maturing. We are developing greater ability to learn him and to trust in him more. As we're dealing with this, your shield of faith gets bigger and it becomes more dense. See, that's why one of the gifts of the Spirit is faith. Because when you are gifted faith, then you learn how to walk it out. When other people can't see the vision, you can see the vision, but you can also see the completion of it. And your faith maintains you through the progression of going from thought to blueprint, from blueprint to the outline of the structure or the infrastructure, which is all the beams and the framing of it, to the actual building itself. Mm-hmm. You see that? Some people can't see it. Even though you talk about it, they need to see a little model of it. That's why some places you'll go, you'll see a little miniature model of what they plan on building all the way around. You see that? So when you see that, they're trying to increase your faith. Now you can believe for everything. When you say, okay, what part are we dealing with? Well, we're dealing with phase three. Phase three is what? Phase three, well, this is phase three over here. Oh, I see that now. Okay, well, let's get to it because I have something that I can trust and I can move with. But when you have faith, great faith, you can see it in its completion before you see anything else. Everybody doesn't have that. Amen. 17, and take the helmet of salvation. Notice salvation covers your mind. My mind, everything about me thinks about God. It thinks about Jesus. I'm so focused on salvation and getting others saved that I don't have time for anything else. Let me just say this. It's interesting to me that they can come out with media presentations that we as saints grab hold of and run with without anything else. There's no reason for us to be sitting there celebrating our ungodly type of behavior and idiosyncrasies, but we can't support the work of God. We can tell you about the housewives. We can have scandal parties. We can do all the rest of that stuff. And I know that they took time and put those shows together and everything. But see, when you can't do something for God without trying to get back to your scandal, without trying to get back to your housewives, without trying to get back to your love and basketball or hip-hop or whatever it is, you see that? Then we have a problem. Because your focus is not on him. Your focus is on your fleshly desires. You understand? And we got to get away from living vicariously through those who do sin when we won't sin. My mind is safe. I have the helmet of salvation on me, which keeps me from thinking and doing wrong. You understand? And the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. Learn how to use this word so that when the enemy comes, you can do as Jesus did. It is written. You see that? We have to learn how to do this and keep doing this and keep pushing forward. Listen, I want to read just one more scripture to you all. Proverbs 16:9. It says, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. In other words, focus on where you're trying to go. But keep in mind that God is going to direct your pathway. You see that? The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And what happens is when we put our plans together and God doesn't say, okay, run with it now, sometimes we step out on our own. We started this telling you that there are many who are called, few are chosen. You have to understand that there are some people who are just going forward because they felt like they wanted to go. You need the grace of God to walk this out. Otherwise, you're vulnerable to the enemy. And no, God didn't make a mistake. Sometimes our flesh gets in the way, and our pride tells us he ain't moving like I want people to move, and we got to get him off of our level and get on his level. You can tell people, I ain't got time for this, but you got to wait on him. Let him move you when you're mature enough and ready to go, and you'll be blessed in what you're doing. Amen? Come on, let's pray. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for this word. I thank you for the ability to minister to your people. Right now, some people are going to hear this word, and they're going to take it, and they're going to run with it, and it's going to produce harvest in their lives. I pray, Lord, for them right now. Miracles, signs, wonders will follow this word in their lives so that they will see your hand upon them.
Yes.
Lord, even now, I pray for those who are in the valley of indecision. They're praying and asking you to help them. I pray, Lord, that you give them confidence. Lord, there are some who are not saved. I pray for them now, Lord, that they will simply pray this prayer. Father, forgive me of my sins. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Thank you, Father, for salvation. In the name of Jesus, amen. Lord, if they prayed that prayer, lead them to a Bible teaching, a Bible believing church where they can be developed and mature and go on to fulfill your assignments for their life. In the name of Jesus, we pray for prosperity, healing, and wholeness in the body of Christ today. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, go to our website, www.ctkr. Learn more about us. I pray that you become a vision partner with us. Help us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. We have our schools, orphanages, and missions over in Africa, and they need your help, especially coming up to this holiday season. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of vulnerable children and orphans that need to have a good holiday, as well as the single mothers and widows. We pray that you would sow a seed that would help us to be a greater blessing to them as we go forward. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
I'm Prophetess McQueen.
Of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, reminding you that it's God's will for you to live this kingdom lifestyle. Thank you all. Be blessed. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.